Holy moly, being a mom is stressful. Am I right? The constant checklist running through our mind, feeling pulled in a million different directions at any single time, and being on call 24/7 can't be good for us. At times, I feel so stretched thin that it seems like I'm just going to break. But knowing that I have control over how I am feeling gives me the power to lay some plates down and deal with all the stress that I'm feeling. Yeah, stress is part of life, and it can wreak havoc on our health, our well-being, our relationships, and our lives. But since we are 100% responsible for our own lives, it's our responsibility to learn how to keep our stress levels in check. Welcome to Moms Without Capes, the podcast where you'll get practical strategies for reclaiming your sense of identity within motherhood. I'm Ani Michalski, and my goal is to help you prioritize your needs and carve out space for yourself so that you can discover who you are beyond your role as a mom. As a mom who wanted to go to a Zumba class for the longest time, but couldn't figure out how to get past the piles of dishes and loads of laundry to do something that didn't revolve around my family, I'm here to tell you that I figured it out. We moms need to get ourselves on our own to-do lists, and we need to do things that we enjoy and that are good for us. I've discovered that this is the key to not losing ourselves in motherhood. Over the years of raising half a dozen kiddos, I can confidently hang up my supermom cape, and now I want to help you do the same. This episode is a popular one that I know that you will find valuable. We will be digging into stress and digging into the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. Stress is a part of life, and while we would love to live a stress-free life, it's highly unlikely, if not impossible, that we'll ever get there. So what we need to do is learn how to effectively manage the stress that we experience so that it doesn't mess with our health and well-being. So as a mom, and frankly as a human, stress is inevitable. But there is such a thing as a mom, and frankly a human, stress is inevitable. But is there a such thing as good stress? And is all stress bad? What can we do to reduce the bad stress when we don't see a way out from under the daily demands? What happens if we feel as though we are drowning from all the stress? And how can we once again find rest in our rhythms? These questions and more are what we're going to tackle in today's show. This is Moms Without Capes. So stress is defined as a burst of energy that motivates you. It's a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from very demanding circumstances. And yes, this was the definition that I Googled. But believe it or not, not all stress is necessarily bad. We likely have experienced stressful moments that have motivated us to meet specific goals or to rise to challenges. When we're under extreme pressure, we tend to get more stuff done. Stress can actually motivate us to meet our goals and to continue working towards our goals. It can help us get tasks done more efficiently. When we are experiencing a moderate level of stress, we tend to work harder and we're more likely to finish a task to the end because there's something inside of us that just gets triggered to get things done and to get those tasks accomplished. At a low level, stress can boost our memory, which I found pretty surprising, but it's been proven in various studies. Hormones get released by our brain when we're experiencing stress, which triggers a response in our body that makes our senses super laser focused. This is why we can get tasks done more efficiently, and it also allows us to respond accordingly to any threatening stimuli. Stress is perceived threat. A low level of stress can actually improve our immune system. Some studies have shown that moderate to low stress can improve the function of our heart and protect the body from infection. In other words, stress in small amounts actually is good for us. But as we well know, when stress becomes way more than we can handle, it can compromise our immune system. When it's more than we can manage, our health deteriorates, and it can harm our heart and can lead to high blood pressure. Stress is exhausting and can wear us down. It can lead to symptoms of depression and anxiety, something more and more moms are experiencing these days. It can also impact our eating. It can increase or decrease our appetite, and it slows down our metabolism and our ability to process and digest our foods. Many of us are so stressed out that our body just holds on to the excess weight. So when you're working on actively losing weight or getting to a certain weight, you'll want to pay attention to not only your food intake, your exercise, and the amount of sleep, but also how you are managing your stress. I know that's a lot. When we're experiencing too much stress, our memory is affected. So it can improve when we are a little under low stress, but when it starts to become too much, we forget a lot. When I wasn't intentionally taking time out of my day to take care of myself because I was so preoccupied with meeting everyone else's needs, I had a horrible memory. Although, probably if you ask my husband these days, he's probably say I still have a horrible memory, which is somewhat true. I'm working on it. But when my stress is really high, when it's exasperated, when I'm experiencing a whole lot of stress, I feel like my memory becomes worse. We can also experience more headaches and muscle tension and may notice the physiological symptoms before we even take note of the psychological ones. Excess stress can negatively influence our sleep. When we are under stress, we end up tossing and turning all night because we're thinking about what's happening the next day or we're still going over what we didn't get done from our to-do list today. So sleep actually can make us feel more stressed, but it's also a way to manage our stress, which we'll get to later in today's episode. We want to look at the different areas of our life and ask, where am I feeling stressed? What changes do I need to make to relieve myself from all of this pressure? Racing thoughts, now whether it's happening while you're lying in bed trying to go to sleep or they're coming up for you during the day, or if you're struggling with being able to focus in the moment, like stay in the here and now, it's a sign that you need to make adjustments, that you may be experiencing just too much stress. Perhaps your thoughts are all just all over the place, or you're feeling totally stretched to the max. Mom brain, right? When you're going from task to task and you are feeling like you're stretched thin or that you just can't keep up, that's a guaranteed symptom that you are experiencing too much stress. So you definitely want to take action to make changes when you are being pulled all over the place. So our mood can also change when we're drowning under the pressures of motherhood, the daily demands. We end up feeling cranky and on edge, and it can even come out as rage. So you definitely want to be on top of this because all of these symptoms signify that our stress level is getting out of hand and we need to reel it in and learn how to manage it. So now we've talked about the advantages, the symptoms, and the signs that you might be experiencing too much stress. And too much is going to be relative. Two moms can go through the exact same experience, and one perceives it as being stressful, and another mom just breezes right through it, not feeling stressed out in the least, because it's relative. It depends on the individual, her coping skills, how resilient she is, past experiences, other factors. All of these things play a role. So now there's two ways that we can deal with stress. We can minimize the stressors, meaning we can reduce the number of plates that we are spinning, or the things that stress us out the most, or we can improve our ability to cope with our circumstances. Doing both is going to be the best option. Oftentimes, as moms, we struggle to know which plates to lay down. Everything seems important, and we feel needed by everyone. Therefore, it can help to shift the way you look at your circumstances, which will give you a new perspective about what's important and what plates can be laid down. Being able to alter our perspective and shift the contributing beliefs and thoughts is a game changer. When it comes down to it, stress really is just a feeling. It's that perception of feeling like your well-being or safety is being threatened. So we can interrupt the cycle of thoughts, feelings, and actions to be able to minimize the effects of stress. Now, your feelings and behaviors, follow me here, so just stay with me for a second. Your feelings and behaviors stem from the thoughts you have about the situation itself. And those thoughts are influenced by the beliefs that you hold. Because your thoughts are influencing your feelings, you want to make sure that you're having the right thoughts and not engaging in stinking thinking. That's what I like to call it. These are those thinking errors that can come into play, the cognitive distortions, such as all or nothing, overgeneralizing, jumping to conclusions, doing some mental filtering where you filter out any of the positives about a situation and you zero in on all the things that we can't control or all the negative things about a situation. These things can distort your thoughts and create feelings of stress. Something that feels really stressful to me as a mom is when I'm pulled in multiple directions at the same time. This can look like, you know, when a few of my kids need me at the same time, they're all vying for my attention, or if I'm trying to cook dinner and then I get a phone call. One thing that has helped me is to zoom out and look at the big picture. I tend to multitask when I am paying too close attention to the details. Like I get caught up in the details. And this can really make things very stressful for me. But I found that zooming out and looking at that big picture can help me, can keep me from getting caught up in the details, thinking that I have to do it all. We actually put stress on ourselves by not holding boundaries or by not setting realistic expectations. Zooming out, as well as becoming aware of what thinking errors could be playing a part and taking a more realistic view, all of these can help to alleviate the stress that a situation brings about. You also need to become aware of your triggers. Awareness, as in most things, is the first step. Look at the different areas of your life and determine what people, places, or situations cause your stress level to increase. By doing so, you can determine which stressors you can minimize or even eliminate altogether. Now let's talk about increasing your coping skills and improving your ability to deal with what stress is happening, what stress you're feeling in your life. I've got two words for you. Self-care. So an excellent way to manage your stress is to get out and move your body. I shared about the cognitive model, right? And how your thoughts and emotions and actions are interconnected. And exercise helps to interrupt that cycle. There have been many studies that have pointed to the connection between your mental health and exercise. Moving your body helps to manage the stress that you're feeling both mentally and emotionally. In Burnout by Emily Nagoski, this is a great book that we read inside the Moms Without Capes book club. But in this book, Emily points out that the way we tell our body that a stressful event has passed is to speak its language, which is body language. Our brain continues to release harmful chemicals as long as we remain in the fight, flight, or freeze response. But when we intentionally move our body, it signals to the brain that we are now safe. So make sure that you're moving your body. You may need to redefine exercise. This was what happened to me. I used to think that it only counted, that exercise only counted if I was wearing a sports bra and I broke into a sweat. I also was under the impression that I had to work out in the morning or else it didn't count, right? I struggled to fit in exercise outside of the morning or wearing regular clothes. Exercise isn't even joining a gym, although of course it can be. But I discovered that by pushing myself out of my own definition, that realizing that exercise is simply intentionally moving my body and working its muscles, I was able to move my body more often. To redefine what exercise meant, I had to go back and do the mental work and ask myself, how else can I move my body? What do I enjoy doing? Do I enjoy going for a walk or maybe trying a new sport? I actually redefine exercise every day when I say, what do I need? What do I want to do today to move my body? And just, again, zooming out. And instead of thinking exercise had to be a certain way, I looked at how I was defining it and started redefining it differently or defining it differently. Maybe you want to try snowboarding, or if you're in the warmer states, snowboarding might not be an option. Maybe you're considering paddleboarding or tennis or learning something new. Do it. One way to make it fun is by joining a group. This is especially like if you want to try dancing or kickboxing. The way I see it is that everyone in the class was new at some point. And in all the groups I belong to in my life, I have never had one that wasn't accepting and welcoming. I know you might be afraid to join a group, especially if you are new to moving your body or you want to try a class. But it takes stepping out of your comfort zone to be able to grow, to be able to do the things that you need to do that are good for you. All right, so we've talked about moving your body, but now I want to go the opposite route. And I want to encourage you to learn how to properly relax. And I don't mean by watching Netflix. Certain techniques will help you get into that true state of relaxation where you are resting your mind, your body, and your soul. Now, these techniques, you need to practice them when you're not feeling stressed out. It's a practice. These techniques are not something that you do one time and you immediately feel relieved from stress. It may incorporate some breath work, progressive muscle relaxation technique, where you go through and you tense up and then release the muscles throughout your body. And there's some other things that you can try. Once you do start doing these regularly, they create almost like a muscle memory where your mind and body will remember what it takes to relax so that when you are feeling stressed, when your stress levels start heightening, your mind and body will already know how to bring itself down to a state of relaxation. Now, I mentioned how sleep can cause you to not be able to manage your stress better. I know that's a couple double negatives, I think. But it is also a way to manage your stress is to get on a regular sleep schedule. Because when you're lying up at night and you're tossing and turning and worrying and all of these racing thoughts are going through your mind, it can create even more stress for you. Not only does it mess with your circadian rhythm, but your mind and body start to re-equate the bed with non-sleep. It's possible to recondition your mind and body to equate the bed with actual sleep, but it's a process. Getting on a regular sleep schedule means going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time, even on the weekends. To keep yourself from lying up in bed worrying, I recommend that you make the time during the day. Your brain's job is to keep you safe. And one way it does that is to process your experiences. When you are keeping yourself in overdrive by being so overcommitted and having such a long to-do list, you may not be giving your brain time during the day to do its work. That is why when you hit the pillow, it's like your brain turns on and says, now it's time for me to do my job. So giving yourself that space during the day, whether it's 20 minutes to just worry and to actually process your thoughts of what's going on, maybe doing some problem solving, or it's just 2-minute intervals throughout the day where you sit in silence, where you just think, you reflect on your thoughts, you might check in and say, how do I feel? These are the things that are going to help you be able to sleep better at night, which is going to help you get the quantity and the quality of sleep you need. And it goes a long way to helping you improve your ability to manage stress. Focusing on the basics is essential. Make sure that you're putting yourself on your to-do list and pay attention to what you need. Learn how to set healthier boundaries and learn how to escape perfectionism. If you are thinking that the house has to be completely clean and everything needs to be taken care of before you go for a walk, that means you need to do some mindset work. Years ago, I wanted to do the Zumba class. I talked about this in the intro to today's episode. And I couldn't, for the life of me, figure out how to get out of the house to do something that didn't revolve around my family or directly benefit them. I always had an excuse. There was laundry I had to do. My family needed me to cook dinner. We were homeschooling, so I had lessons I had to prepare. The list was endless. I had every excuse, and I continued to give my friend Joni, thank goodness she was persistent, because I continued to give her these excuses. She kept asking, but I kept thinking that everything had to be perfect in order for me to try this class. I felt like the stars had to line up, and they just weren't lining up because it wasn't realistic. And oh my gosh, can I just tell you the guilt that I felt was unreal. For years, I felt tremendous guilt, thinking that I had to sacrifice everything and that I was a bad mom for even wanting to do anything that didn't directly benefit my family. I was sacrificing myself. I was sacrificing who I was for my husband and my kids. I was convinced that I was the only one who could care for my family, which meant that I was working 24/7 and I was on call. I was working doctor's hours without doctor's pay. And it was detrimental to my relationships and to my sanity. There was a long time when I did not practice self-care, which, by the way, doing things like Zumba and other activities that are fun and bring you joy are considered self-care. So during this time when I wasn't, my stress levels, as you can imagine, were so high, and I did experience a lot of the symptoms that I just shared with you. It's like towards the beginning of this episode. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you're doing what you need to do to put yourself on your to-do list so that you can practice self-care regularly. Recently, I was talking with one of the women in the Moms Without Capes community. And she shared with me something she was doing that has helped to alleviate much of the stress in her life. She started by looking at what she would most like help with. And then she went through her support network and identified who in her system, like who in her support system, she could go to for certain things that she needed. Learning how to ask for help using your support network is going to help you better manage the stress that's happening in your life. But before any of that, before you even start seeing identifying who is in your support network, you have to identify what it is that you need. What do you need help with? Or what are you searching for? What do you feel that you need someone else to come and help you with? Once you start doing that work, then use your support system to help you, to obtain that help. If you feel guilty or shame about asking for help, it's important to learn how to release that guilt. Remember, guilt is a feeling. And so looking at those thoughts and the beliefs that are feeding that guilt is going to help. Because you have to learn how to release that guilt so that you can allow others to help. When we don't ask for help, we're robbing a lot of other people from being able to help where they want to. We prevent grandparents and spouses and friends from being able to serve. And if you don't know where you need help, they're certainly not going to know where how to help. I remember way back when we first moved here to Montana, it was like 2009, 2010, and my mother-in-law wanted to take the kids for a weekend. And I felt so much guilt. I told her no, not because I knew that the kids would be well cared for, but I was under this impression that I was the only one that was going to be able to care for them. It was like, because my identity was so wrapped up in me as mom, I felt like a piece of me was being ripped away, even though she just wanted them for the weekend. But that was that guilt just took a hold, right? And I had to do a lot of work on my mindset and seeing what were those thoughts that were happening. So for too many years, like, I just didn't ask for help. I didn't accept help. But I want to be clear here that we're not talking about shared tasks within a household. That's called adulting, right? Your partner needs to adult, just like you adult all day. It's absolutely okay to expect your partner to do things that need to get done, to run a home and raise a child. I have a real problem with the word help when we say, my husband is not helping me, or my partner does not help me, because that's assuming that the task itself falls under your realm, or like that it's your full responsibility. And that's not the case. When you both live in a home, you are both responsible for cleaning the kitchen. It is not one person helping the other. You work together. And so I do struggle with that word help. I've talked about that in other episodes for sure. I'm going to knock it on that soapbox. But if you feel like you are doing the lion's share of adulting, that can really build a lot of resentment. So what we're talking about here is, when I say accepting help from others, that's the other people in your support system outside of your immediate family. Recognizing your biggest triggers, moving your body, learning how to properly relax, maintaining a regular sleep schedule, engaging in self-care, which includes setting healthy boundaries, letting go of perfectionism, leaning into your support system, and doing activities that are fun and enjoyable. These are all great ways to effectively deal with the stress in your life. Stress is unavoidable, so let's work together to change our thinking around it and to manage it like pros. So if you found this episode of Moms Without Capes to be valuable, I encourage you to leave a review on either Apple or Spotify so that we can spread the love to other moms who might be drowning in stress. The more positive reviews the show has, the more likely it is suggested to others looking for podcasts just like this one. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Without Capes. As you learned from tuning in, stress isn't all that bad in moderation, but it is super important to keep it in check so that it doesn't wreak havoc on our health, our well-being, our relationships, and our life. You are 100% responsible for your own life and for creating the joy that you want to feel. Stop living on autopilot, slow down, check in with yourself, and please, above all, take care of yourself, because you are worth it.